I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
All right, Cypher, we're about to start one app, but you say you have to plug something first.
Yes. Give me a second, fucking asshole. I got to find it.
Really? This is how you prepare for a plug?
Here we go. Vermont Comedy Club, March 18th and 19th. Burlington, Vermont. This is a club I've been trying to get into for years. They're having me do the whole weekend. I'm super excited. I need anybody in the Vermont area, anyone in the Burlington area to come through. Louis Guzman. You live in Vermont. Come through.
Hold on. I got to see something real quick.
What?
I know this is crazy.
Yeah?
I'm in Vermont that weekend.
Why?
A friend's bachelor party. Ah, but it's far away. Damn. It's far away. We're gonna be in like this ski area. It looks like it's like 90 minutes away.
That's nothing. That's nothing. 18th and 19th, Friday and Saturday. Over at the Vermont Comedy Club in Burlington, Vermont. Trust me, you don't want to miss it. WANAP fans, I need you for this.
Come on out.
Bring your friends. It's not a WANAP event, so they don't have to be WANAP fans. Just bring your coworkers, bring friends, bring people. All right? WANAP is life.
Okay. Okay, let's start. Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening, then, I suppose.
And good night. Good night would be the final installment of the good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and good night.
Oh, wait. And also, since we're at it.
Where are we at?
Since we're at it, I said.
Where are we at?
BET Awards? No, here's what I... let's try it again. Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Well, good evening then.
And good night.
And how about...
All right, you guys, podcast time. We got the equipment and the perfect business plan. Give our show away for free and tell no one how to find it. Ready?
Cypher Sounds.
This DJ for Little Kim.
Was it years ago?
Years ago.
It was years ago, I'm feeling.
Years ago.
Peter Rosenberg.
It's worse now because I'm divorced.
Was it years ago?
Years ago.
It was years ago, I'm feeling.
Years ago.
I like turtles.
Shut the fuck up, Billy June. WANAP is life.
Why does everyone... Did we ask for the theme song to be put all clips of us just thrown in there?
I suggested... No, I made a suggestion. I was like, maybe throw in some samples and years ago. Right. And I think it should have... I like that, you know, as opposed to just a naked beat.
Yeah, I guess.
I hear what you're saying, too. Yeah. That was from Leisure Suit Gary.
Leisure Suit Gary is a fire name.
And that was pretty dope, man. I'm not mad at that one.
Welcome Back Cotter beat.
You know what? Yeah, he used the Welcome Back Cotter. And you know what Natalie pointed out that I thought was interesting? That the way it goes, I like turtles. Shut the fuck up, Billy June. It almost made Billy June the I like turtles kid. It's like he is the only turtle.
We're not 100% sure that it wasn't Billy June.
Exactly.
Right, Billy? Right? Play what I just sent you. I tried something interesting.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. Okay, we were in the middle of...
Don't worry about it. Don't worry, Billy June. Just whatever you feel like. Whatever whim you feel like.
It's related. That's
just a drop you made.
No, but do it again.
Okay. Do it again. Here you go.
Years ago.
Okay. Why did you have me...
make a beat. I was trying to make a beat.
But you didn't. You just did...
Years ago.
Do you understand, Billy June? You didn't think when you said this that this was going to be the classic kind of thing that we were going to tell you to shut the fuck up for? I can't believe...
What do you mean you try to make a beat? It's just one
I was going to loop it.
But you didn't.
Put like drums behind it.
Then why didn't you?
But you
didn't
play.
Send it to us when you did that.
All right, Saif. Anyways, here's another intro. Here we go. This goes on for another three minutes.
I like that one.
You do?
I like the beat.
That is...
I like the reverb of the Family Guy intro, but you probably needed a couple more different sounds in there, not just years ago. And also, like, nobody's putting Juan Epp in their intros.
Yeah.
This is years ago. I like turtles. Shut the fuck up, Billy June. Like, we need our names in this.
Yeah. That's why I liked the one from last week. I liked that. I thought that was done well.
I like that beat, though.
Oh,
that
and he and
like a old, play that one more time. That sounds like an old school beat. Like a
he called it Jagged Edge. It's called Jagged Edge UAD.
Play one more time.
But I thought it wasn't Jagged Edge. I thought it reminded me of like a Next record or something. But oh, it reminds me of I Need a Girl. Yeah, it has the I Need a Girl vibe. Here you go.
Hello? Go to the very end. See if there's just a beat.
What did you say?
Go to the very end. See if there's just a beat.
I just skipped 2 minutes. It's still years ago.
I like that. Years ago.
So yeah, let's try that again. He's getting somewhere.
And also just send me the instrumental. Who was the guy that did that?
That was Cuffy Holmes.
Of course, Cuffy Holmes.
Thank you, Cuffy Holmes. Now, DJ Raw Shark did, I believe, a remix. He did this one last week.
Years ago.
Good morning.
You know I used to DJ for Little Kim.
Good afternoon.
Do you know that I was I'm once divorced?
This is years ago.
Good evening.
Good afternoon.
Good morning.
Good night.
This is Juan F. Fuckery.
This is years ago, bro.
It's a big day, ladies and gentlemen. Juan F. is
what?
Listen, watch, don't listen, don't watch. I don't give a fuck.
Rosenberg. Yo, we're doing it for this thing we call hip hop.
And good night.
No, I think he flipped it.
Years ago. Good morning.
You know I used to DJ for Little Kim.
Good afternoon.
You know that I was I'm once divorced.
This is years ago. Years ago.
Good evening.
Good afternoon.
Good morning.
Good night.
This is Juan F. Fuckery.
This is years ago, bro.
It's a big day, ladies and gentlemen. Juan F. is
what?
Listen, watch, don't listen, don't watch. I don't give a fuck.
Rosenberg. Yo, we're doing it for this thing we call hip hop.
And good night.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that feels sort of. I like
so that's the same guy.
Same guy. He just did two different.
So he just took the beat, made a different beat, but put the same samples on top.
Yeah, DJ Raw Shark.
I like that beat though, man.
DJ Raw Shark. These are good, man. We're getting some comp here.
Yeah, she.
A lot of people are gonna work on their own intro. Keep them coming. Yeah.
Fucking shit.
So anyways, rosenbergbeats@gmail.com is my, people have been sending them there. They sent them to Billy June, I think, too. with the, what is that, oneepislife@gmail.com. You could do that too. So, Saif, you appear to have a very eventful weekend.
Oh, did I?
You were stunting.
Did I?
Stunting on the gram. Yo, I'm in L.A. Before L.A.
Let's not forget the random Dave Chappelle pop-up.
Oh, yeah. What was that? I don't even really know about it.
Dave Chappelle just popped up again. He did a show with us at the Comedy Cellar, and then he did his normal stand.
Who's us?
Me and Will Sylvan.
He popped out on your show there.
Will Sylvan does a show on Monday nights called New Jokes.
Okay.
Where all comedians come up and basically get like 5 to 7 minutes
to do new jokes.
New material. And the crowd knows you're hearing new material.
It's going to be new jokes.
It's not polished. It's not finished. Sometimes people weave in older jokes so they get the, you know, they're trying to add on to a joke, blah, blah, blah. So Dave wanted to do that show, but came into town on Tuesday. So he popped by the Cellar. I wasn't there. He popped by the Cellar on Tuesday. I saw the pictures. He was suited up. So I asked him when I saw him, why was he suited up? He said it was Harry Belafonte birthday.
Yes, I heard about that. Okay, sure.
So he was in town for that. And then
This is years ago.
It's a week ago.
Oh, it's not years ago. Okay. I get confused sometimes. Sometimes I think these days everything is years ago.
No, it was a week ago.
Okay, a week ago.
And then, so he goes, I want to do that new joke show. So Will basically put together a special edition of new jokes on Wednesday. So me and Will hosted that. Chappelle came out, did like 2 hours maybe.
Wow.
And then hour and a half maybe. And then I saw what's the guy from L.A., the rapper?
The Game.
No, with the V.
Eazy-E.
With a V.
V. Vince Vaughn. Vince Staples.
Vince Staples.
Okay.
Vince Vaughn. I saw Vince Vaughn, the rapper. Yeah, Vince Staples was there.
Okay.
And then we had a show, a pop-up show at The Stand.
Is this all?
He did four nights at The Stand.
Who's the we?
Chappelle. And then me and Will hosted.
I still don't remember a time when you told me to come by. I still haven't heard.
That's fair.
And then you say to me, his response is always, you don't go outside. But I have been outside. And you don't tell me. You. I don't tell you because you're going to be outside. I've been outside.
I'm not saying that in a dick way. It's just you're not on my go-to list.
I should be on all your go-to lists. That's wrong.
You're right.
You were mad at me when I didn't invite you to my release party.
You're 100% right. There's nothing wrong with what you're saying.
Well, yeah, and I would like to maybe pop up at one of those.
You're absolutely saying 100% correctness.
Thank you.
And that's my bad.
Thank you.
So, yes, I got to keep you in mind for those.
I would appreciate it. It sounds pretty cool.
So we go over there. Chappelle, Chris Rock.
This is Dave Chappelle, the comedian.
That's right.
Got it. Not David LaChapelle.
No, not LaChapelle.
Okay.
Questlove was there.
He's in the roots. He's the guy who doesn't think our podcast exists anymore.
That's right.
Did you see? Yo, you ran up on him?
I didn't, because actually, the funny thing is, he was in the crowd. Like he was online, and came down the steps with the regular folks, the civilians.
Wow.
And I'm coming down the steps running because we just came from doing another show at the Cellar. So I come running over. So I'm like, excuse me. You know, move to your right. I got to get downstairs. And I pass Questlove. And I go, what are you doing? And he goes, I like it like this. Like, I just want to be, you know what I mean? He just wants to
go to a show. You know what you should have said to him, though?
First of all, let's talk about these ill capers and fly ass buttons that now caught vapors. Niggas run up on you with guns.
You should have run up on him with guns and been like, yo, what the fuck, fam?
Well, we had a great time with Quest. And then Busta Rhymes showed up.
I've heard of him. He does the rap.
Somebody else was there. One more key person. Jay Period was there, which he's always around Dave nowadays.
Really?
Yeah.
He's been welcomed into the circle, you're saying.
He's in the circle so much that
You're sort of annoyed. You sort of want to punch his face.
No, no, I like him. I like him a bunch. He's a great guy, but he's so much in the circle that when if something ever happens to trauma, like if he was to die.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
This is like Succession. Here's what's going on with the Dave DJ scenario. There's DJ Trauma, who is the guy. He's Dave's guy.
Always has been.
And then I'm always the replacement when he's not around. But a couple of times I couldn't replace him. I was doing something. So then there's been other people kind of poking in and out. Hey, hey, who's that guy? Hey, you get out of here, sir. Beat it. Then I got to go start spreading rumors. You know that guy's on heroin. You know that guy. You know that guy's he's a dope fiend. And then Jay Period's been around a lot. And I couldn't do a show one day. And then they were like, oh, I asked Jay Period to do it. And I was like, oh, he's the new replacement. Here we go.
So you're saying you feel like he's...
I'm Kendall.
And he's Cousin Greg. Here comes Cousin Greg. Jay Period's Cousin Greg.
Is he Cousin Greg?
I mean, he showed up.
He's the brother. He's the other guy. Roman.
He's Roman.
He's Roman because... It looked like Kendall was going to be the guy, and then Roman seems to be the guy now.
Yeah, but don't worry. If Jay Period accidentally sends a dick pic to Dave Chappelle, then you're back in business.
Well, that's what I'm hoping for.
But by the way, I don't know. It feels like with you and the DJing part of it, like, with all due respect, feels like you kind of got to make your mind up because it feels like you'd rather be the comedian.
I mean, I'm always a comedian when I DJ for Dave.
You mean you DJ and comedian, but I mean,
there's no way.
You know what I'm saying though? I wonder if it's at all like a,
I mean, listen, we're having a real talk, which Rwanep is.
Sure. Yes, we are.
It's so weird, but in the last 2 years in the pandemic, I've outgrown the, just being the opening DJ guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is crazy because it's all I wanted. I've been waiting for Trauma to fucking drop dead. They won't do it. This guy's fucking made of steel. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
He's 80 or 90 years old. DJ Trauma is 86 years old.
Trauma knows I'm fucking around. But yeah, I don't know. Like if something, let's say, I don't know, whatever. Let's say something happened and they did ask me to do it. I would honestly, right now, I would have to think about it.
Because you're doing other things, which gets us to the rest of your weekend. You live a whole life, none of which Wanep is a part of. I mean, we don't even snip.
Wanep, let me tell you right now. But that trip to L.A.
Yeah.
Was like, it's a Wanep covert mission. Don't get it twisted.
Is it?
Yes.
It's so covert that I didn't even know about it. It's so covert.
You don't need to know yet.
I'm on a need to know basis, and I currently don't need to know.
You don't need to know yet.
No. So I just
consequence. Consequence was at the Dave Chappelle show the other night.
Oh, thank you. So wait, you were trying to think of someone else?
Consequence, his son is now a rapper, and he's helping his son work on a project. And I was like, the same kid that was on Wanep that wouldn't shut the fuck up with his toys?
Did you say that?
He's like, yeah, yeah. That guy's a rapper now.
But he, by the way, man, I promise. Consequence has been having that kid rap since he was like 2 years old.
Oh, perfect. And we gonna go to Red Lobster, and you can get all the
lobster tails that you want. This is my favorite song on Consequence. When you make that money, boy, they say, don't you forget them. When you make that money, boy, they say, don't you forget them. When you make that money, boy, they kind of like this one, too. Yeah. Oh, this one's good. These are both on the Consequence album, Don't Quit Your Day Job. Carry on at the item. If you got more baggage than a carry-on item, and all you do is carry on and try to ignite him, which leads me to think that you really don't like him. But let me find out the scene into the kid. Man, it's crazy. His appearance, it was interesting. He had one of the interesting things in the Kanye thing. Like, you'd see him there, but they never really focused on him, and he was around so much that. Like, him and 88 Keys kind of had similar roles in it.
Yeah.
Anyways, so take us now to L.A. on this covert mission, so covert that you didn't tell anyone about it.
Wait, tell who?
Me
who
or Billy June. Me or Billy June.
I had to tell you and Billy June my travel plan?
Yeah, I mean, hey, how about this? Yo, guys, I'm out here in L.A. right now. I'm having a lot of conversations. Yo, bruh. Yo, I got some shit to tell y'all. How about that? How about that?
What about? Well, I got some shit to tell y'all on the podcast.
No. In real life, maybe.
I tagged you in a picture.
Yeah, you hung out with Amber Rose, and so you felt obligated to at least give me a shot. You felt obligated to be like, well, I'm with Rosenberg's friend. I should give a shout out. I appreciate it. It worked.
You're saying it in a bad way.
No, I appreciate it. I mean, I was like, that's nice.
It's like, that's, I know her through him.
Right. So it was nice.
I'm with Rosenberg's friend, Amber.
That was nice. No, because honestly, I really do appreciate it because it's one of those things that wouldn't make any sense for me to feel a way about. But if you just posted a picture with her and didn't act like I existed, it would be, yeah. I'd be like, the fuck's wrong with this guy? That's my friend. So you did exactly the right thing.
In the game of amnesia,
yeah,
which I hate.
Yeah.
You know I hate amnesia.
Yeah.
I would not ever have met Amber Rose or been any even type of little bit cool with her if it wasn't for you.
I brought her to one of your shows.
Shows, you brought her to One App or whatever we did with her. We interviewed her for the radio or One App or something. And I know you're cool with her.
But you didn't just see Amber Rose. You saw a wide array of people on this trip.
Well, so I was on a trip with Nori. Me and Nori are what you call cooking. We're cooking up something.
You and Nori are cooking. Okay.
Me and Noriega, my first rap friend ever.
Yep. He's very hot right now.
My first rapper friend. My first real rapper friend, like an established rapper. Me and Nori are cooking. And let me tell you something, man. That guy is a great, great human being, man.
Yeah.
Non-amnesia.
No, he doesn't have amnesia for sure.
Non-amnesia. So me and him were talking about something. He's like, yo, this thing we're cooking up, we got a meeting in LA. I'm like, okay. And that's it. Just get to LA. So I don't know if I'm supposed to be invoicing or.
Well, invoicing.
Yeah, like is he paying for this business trip?
Oh,
is it
right?
I don't know. And the answer is no. It's not.
It's not being
like,
paid.
I'm
for.
Up, but you up too. I'm like, well, I'm not as up as you, but all right, I can.
All right, I guess I'll just pay for this.
I can get in a trip to. Can I stay at the hotel he's staying at? No, sir.
Oh, he stayed somewhere. He stayed somewhere jiggy.
Yeah, I'm not. No, my spot was nice too. Don't get it twisted, but not that.
Yeah, but no, but his. Hold
and
on.
Then I grabbed. I had to, while I got the call to go to LA, I put in the word that I was going to be in town to try to get some stand-up spots, and I got some, but you know how LA is so spread out, they're all over town, so I had to get a rental.
Nori's hotel was like this. Uh-huh. Sipe's hotel, hold on, was this.
What was my hotel? What was mine? This is Nori's hotel.
This was Sipe's hotel, though. That was Nori's hotel.
But this is nice, though.
No, it's nice.
I ain't about to sit back and talk about gaps and glocks and busting caps on blocks, cracking on practice cops.
It's just like, it's a little grimer. It's like dirty fingernails, though. Blood smoking. You know, it's different. It's just different. Okay. So
I had to get a rental. Because, you know, bro, you jump in 2-3 Ubers, you're already...
Might as well have, and you don't drink, so why not?
So I got a beautiful, what do they call it? I think it was a Ford Fusion.
Ooh.
Oh, man. It didn't even have Apple CarPlay. That shit had a, that shit had a calculator monitor.
Who needs that? The TI-82?
I don't know what it was, bro.
Good for you.
I was embarrassed. I had to roll up to Nori's hotel. The front of Nori's hotel is a car show.
Right, it's a club.
Range Rovers, Ferraris, Aston Martins, fucking even like the low end cars, like a just a regular Benz, just a clean Benz, and then tons of just SUV car service type cars, you know.
Yeah, I believe that.
Rolling up in the Ford Fusion, like, oh, this is embarrassing.
Was this downtown? Downtown or in Hollywood?
This is like Beverly Hills area.
Okay.
So anyway. Meet up with Nori. Capone was there for one day. I saw Capone. Shout out to Capone. He loves us.
Me too. I was included.
Yeah, you're always included. How's Rosenberg?
Do I still get Howard Rosenberg's?
Yeah.
I want to hear if there are any more Howard Rosenberg's. I want some. You know I need those things.
One. That was the only one. Not even Amber Rose asked me.
No, wow.
I don't even think if Amber knew who I was in relation to you. I think she just remembered me.
and didn't know how she remembered you? You didn't say.
It looked like it. Never, you never came up.
Get the bloody money. Dirty cash. Live niggas smoke weed.
Wait, you never said to her, hey, you know, Rosenberg and I still do the podcast, blah, blah, blah. You just left it.
I didn't think I needed to.
Right. Because, that makes sense.
But, like, throughout the conversation, then I was like, oh, I don't think she realizes. She knows who I am. I don't think she realizes our connection.
By the way, I would believe that she would remember. That's possible.
Okay, probably. Well, she was super cool. So anyway, whatever. I'm going. So then, you know Gumbo? Luca Brasi?
No.
You ever hear Dipset Records and Jim Jones are like, Luca Brasi?
Yeah, sure.
That guy.
Okay.
That guy owns Gumbo.
Okay.
Which apparently is the hottest weed company in the game.
Okay. All right.
I posted a picture of some gumbo and my comments went crazy.
Okay.
How do I get that gumbo? Can you bring it back with you? I was like, first of all, I don't smoke weed. I'm joking, fellas. Hey, fellas, look at everything else on my Instagram page. You see comedy? This is comedy what I'm doing with this big bag of weed.
Right. I don't really do the weed.
But this gumbo guy is a thing, man.
Really?
My comments were going nuts.
Okay.
And then we go hook up with Amber Rose. She's upstairs at the whatever, some rooftop thingy. The Warriors were at our hotel. Now, when I say our hotels, because I spend more time at Nori's hotel than my hotel, so I'm just going to refer to it our
but
hotel.
But to be clear, you would get back, you'd hang out with Nori, and then you would get back in this hotel.
I play the DL and watch the outskirts. I write an ill verse and never shout words that makes my mouth hurt.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
I met basketball player Clayton somebody.
Clay Thompson,
yeah.
Wow.
Met him. And then so we go hang out with Amber Rose. Yo, when I tell you that Nori Drink Champ is real.
What do you mean?
Like,
oh, how much he can drink?
They drink.
Was EFN there too?
EFN was not there.
Okay. Is he throwing EFN in the garbage?
No, not at all. He bigs up EFN all the time.
So he's bringing him with him. He just didn't bring him with him. Yes. EFN was the Peter Rosenberg to his Cypher Sounds, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it. Okay.
I get there. Nori's they're just finishing up breakfast. So mimosa's on deck.
Got it.
Then we go upstairs. They go smoke marijuana. Go up to the roof. All right. I'm going to say we got to the roof. I'm going to say 1 o'clock to be safe. 1 p.m.
Okay. Oh, wait, Cypher.
Phone ringing? Is everything okay?
It's the kid Capri.
What?
I was knocked out, man. I just woke up, man.
Hey, Cypher, look, it's Kid Capri on the phone.
Kid Capri.
What's going on, man?
Kid Capri, how the hell are you, bro?
I'm great, man. I am great. Everything is going good, working hard, just doing what I do. I'm home now because I've been taking off the road and all that, but, you know, I put my album out, so I just wanted to get that out, you know, get all these projects going and then go back on the road. So I'm back now, but I'm home.
But according in connection to your album, Kid Capri, what part of New York City would you say you most represent at this particular time?
What part of New York City that I represent
in
at
connection,
this particular time?
In connection to your album.
Well, I guess the Bronx. I guess the Bronx
that's
and Harlem.
Where
really, Harlem. Harlem is what I connect with because that's where I got off. But that's why I put that.
What is the slang? What is the slang term for Harlem people use?
What's the slang term for Harlem?
That's right.
Uptown.
That's right, baby. New single right. Out right now. Uptown. Kid Capri.
The kid. Yes, there you go. And by the way, Kid Capri has a whole album that he produced and rapped. Called The Love, and it's out right now, streaming everywhere. Sife, that was a beautiful setup. I didn't know where you were going. You did, though.
It was a horrible setup. It didn't work at all.
No, it failed, but I liked it. I liked what you did. So hold on. We have a few things we want to ask you about generally, but real quick, just let the people know, listening to Juan Epp right now, what this album is about, why you decided to do an album with you rapping the whole way through and producing. Just tell the people.
I just felt like I needed to do something a little different, man. I've seen how the pandemic was going, and the pandemic was the first time I had a chance to sit down and relax since 88 to the pandemic. I've been on the road constantly, you know, and so in the pandemic, I sat down and wrote, did four albums. I did two cartoons. We did the real estate. We did the clothing line. There's a lot of things I did sitting down. So, and then, you know, I, when the quarantine hit, I seen things that was going on in the quarantine on the net with the certain DJs asking for cash apps, begging for cash apps.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. That. I forgot. You didn't like that. I forgot that.
I didn't like that at all, man. Not that people got paid. It was the way they was doing it. It just made it look like we were thirsty, like DJs were thirsty or something. So seen that.
Yeah, just to reset for the people. When DJs were like asking to kind of get tipped online, yeah, Kid Capri jumped out there and was kind of like, y'all seem thirsty out here.
Man, yeah, it wasn't bad that people were paying them. You know, if you DJing up there, you know, people use burning electricity, people should pay. You throw your pen up there, people should pay. But when you turn around and every 5 seconds, send $50 of my cash app, yo, send $20 of my cash app. It just made it look trash. And it was in the middle of people's misery. And it was 5 days after the quarantine hit. So nobody was broke yet. You know what I'm saying? So it was right.
You know what it is, kid? And this took a lot for me to understand also. A lot of people weren't that hurt in the pandemic as much as entertainers were. A lot of people were still working from home. So they weren't affected like we were. So it wasn't like everybody was out of work and broke. So I could understand that aspect of it. But I cannot sit there and beg for money. I just can't do it, man.
Nah, it just didn't look right. And my thing was, you know, things are classy. My thing is like, you know, if you see me here DJing on your joint, you know, come watch me tomorrow. If you like me, when this thing opens up, come have me do your weddings. Come have me do your thing. You see what I do. It's just a classy way of doing things. Sometimes people take advantage of people's misery, or what would happen is when they see an opening for something to do, it gets out of hand. It's so much accessibility, so things don't become special no more because anybody could do it now. And it was the same thing with that. It was like anybody was just asking for money, begging for money. It didn't look right to me. It looked crazy. And I stood on what I said. I meant what I said. I wasn't changing what I said, regardless who felt any way about it. And after they see me on the live, they understood where I was coming from. And I was also the one that said, listen, you know, IG Live is letting us rock playing music on there, but we're not supposed to be doing that. Y'all begging for money. They're going to cut the music off. They're going to cut everybody. And that's exactly what happened. You know what I'm saying? Because true. I was on there from 2015 to 2018 doing Block Party Live mixtape at No Panties Sunday sitting in my basement playing music for people. And I did that because I felt like all these years that people have been coming to my shows and promoters had me come and do shows all over the country and all over the world. This is my way of giving back without having to, you know, they have to pay for nothing. So I would do two shows a week. And I did it for 3 years until I started SiriusXM Fly. So I stopped it to bring everybody over to SiriusXM Fly. When the pandemic happened I came back for a little while, but then I just started seeing people going crazy with it. I said, let me pull back. And you know, so when I would DJ on there, what I would do is raise money. I raised $120,000 for the frontline workers.
Wow.
I raised $140,000 for the girl that needed the four brain tumors. She had four brain operations.
Wow.
We raised up $140,000 for that. And we raised up $117,000 for the DJs that wasn't doing good. That was the way it was supposed to go. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, once we did that, I did the New Year's Eve party. That was the last time I DJed on the net. Anytime else I'd be on there, I just, you know, hang out with people or make beats or promote the album or stuff like that. You know, I just felt like it was time for me to pull back. But it's a beautiful thing that we had it in the pandemic, because if we didn't have it, people would have been going crazy.
And so that led you to thinking you wanted to have a different kind of outlet. So you started getting back in the lab and making music again.
Yeah, I just felt like I wanted to do it. I did everything I could do with the DJ business. I'm still with it. You know, I opened the doors. I brought the money to the DJ business. I brought the style of how a DJ is supposed to look into the DJ business. You know what I'm saying? How DJ is supposed to sound and how he's supposed to do business and not get treated like somebody just playing music and you put him in a corner. I brought that energy to the business of the DJ thing. So I did everything there was to do. So when I seen all this going on, and I had a chance to sit down and focus on this, and keep it in mind, I've been on the road from 88
until the pandemic. If I took 2 months off within those years altogether, that's a long time. So I never had a chance to sit down and focus. I even lost 40 pounds, you know what I'm saying, being able to focus and sit down and relax and just get my head on everything else. So I said, let me just do this album. And I wrote Slap Key. Slap Key was the first song that I wrote. And it was like God said, yo, keep going, kid. Put a glove on my shoulder, said, keep going. And I kept going and just kept writing and kept, you know, did the beats and just kept going. And I put Slap Key out first. And the reason why I didn't put a party record out, the Uptown record out first, is because I wanted people to take me rhyming serious. I wanted them to see it was nobody in the video, no distractions, nothing like that. I just wanted them to hear what I was saying and how I was saying it. And once I knew that Slap Key worked and everybody accepted it, then I said, you know what, I can go with the rest. Because if Slap Key never worked, if people didn't like Slap Key, the whole project would have never came out. You see what I'm saying? Mm. So it all depended on what was going to go on with Slap Key. So then after Slap Key, after I seen everybody like that, I said, you know what, then I could throw the party joint, the Uptown joint, and then once they hear the album, they'll see that it's really serious. It's not no just me just doing an album just because. I really put work into this album. I didn't want to ask nobody to get on it except for my daughter, R&B artist, and Mr. Lex, the reggae artist. I didn't ask no mainstream artist to get on it. I could have played half that album for anybody and they would have heard it and said, yeah, I'll be a part of that. But I wanted to do it myself. I wanted to do all the beats. I wanted to rhyme everything, write everything, and do all the hooks and everything I could do on it. And show the people that it's not just a DJ thing. I've been a triple threat for years. It's just that I got big as Kickin' Free the DJ.
I mean, also, when you did the soundtrack to the Streets album back in 98, you did almost every joint on that too. All but one, right?
I did all the beats except for the remix of Unify and the record with Foxy Brown and the Locks. Everything else I did. Even the first album, Kickin' Free the Tape, I did that whole album with Kool Reed. It wasn't Biz that got that.
Who was the joke on back then on that first album? There was a joke on somebody.
It was Jack.
A joke. Oh, Jack? The joke's on you, Jack.
Joke's on you, Jack. I fucking love that song, bro. I love the jokes, man, on you, Jack.
And when that I did that album, so fire. When I did that album, I didn't even want an album deal. Biz. Seeing how hot I got with the mixtape to the street, and he's like, and one day you see, like, I did Studio 54, and I had the crates on the corner. I was waiting for a car to come get me, and Biz pulled up in the MPV. Kid, I'm gonna get you an album deal. I said, shut up, Biz. I'm like, I ain't want no damn album deal. Next thing you know, I was at Burt Bedell's office, the accountant, with a big amount of money. Signed to Coachella and Warner Brothers, and I had my first album. I was
wow,
like,
so you're Rhyme. So you're another person who had a huge opportunity just straight up because Biz took an interest and said he wanted to do it, huh?
Absolutely. And at the time, there was people that were real rappers. There was people that were really, you know what I'm saying? He could have gave that deal to anybody. He could have gave that deal to any one of them. But he seen something in me the same way Russell Simmons seen something in me for Def Comedy Jam. He knew what I was doing. I was bringing something new to the business. I was bringing something exciting. And I'm good at what I do. I really care about what I do. I never did it. I never did none of this to be cute or to be like the next man. I did this because I really love what I do. And it shows when I'm on stage. It shows every time I do what I do. So Biz do that. And he's seen how I wasn't asking nobody for nothing. I wasn't scared to work. I would go out in the middle of the street to sell 100 tapes in front of drug dealers and people getting, you know, shot at and all. I didn't know if I was going to get robbed. And I would, girls would drive by in the car and laugh at me because I was selling street tapes, mixtapes in the street. I would have to put 14 gold chains on my neck just to look like I was doing good. And it was frustrating, but I didn't care. I didn't have no pride in it. I said, I'm going to be somebody. I'm going to do my thing. Radio don't want to give me a job. I got to get heard some kind of way. And I sat my ass on that street corner and I sold them tapes until it made me somebody. And, you know, and the rest is history.
How, even though you were already the man and everyone knew your name and you rang bells, were you still affected and appreciative of Peace to Red Alert and Kid Capri? Because that one's a big
gonna
one.
That's always going to be a part. That and Pete Stavangi, Boosie P,
Kid Capri. Jesus Christ! You're on Juicy too. God damn.
Yeah. I'm named on so many records, but those two records are the most prominent. Yeah, those are the two that it's like an all the time thing. You know, it's there permanently. So, yeah, and they immortalized my name with that. You know what I'm saying? Shot the Big. You know, he was a good dude, man.
I mean, Sypha, you could argue, Syph. You know, Juicy's up there for, in terms of like mainstream appeal, one of the absolute biggest rap records of all time. Wouldn't you say, Syph?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Juicy's the type of record you can play anywhere.
Yep. Grandmothers and kids would love it. Yep.
That's right. You can play it at a white girl's wedding or in a hood club, Jamaican bashment in Brooklyn. Like, Juicy works. Yep. Everywhere.
So it's so. By the way, it's so hilarious too. You get Ron G, Brucey B, Kid Capri, Funkmaster Flex, Love Bug, Starsky, five just pillars, and then also in the same song you get Remember Rappin' Duke, the ha da ha, which is so fucking random. So random. His name is Kid Capri.
And now this album, I'm trying to get this album. I want the world to hear this album because the album is dope. Listen, the narrative been albums don't sell now. Albums don't do this now because dudes depend on one or two records to be good on their album, and they live off of that. And the rest of the attention span is shot because they don't put the work in. And at one time, you had to be signed. You had to be special to be signed. Now anybody can put a record out. Everybody got a computer, so you got 60,000 records coming out on Spotify. Everybody's attention is short. Nobody's looking at it and looking at the bodies of work because they're not really putting out a body of work. It trip over a hit. The hit comes out and do good. Now they rush to make a soulless album. And that soulless album may have one or two records on it, and then the project is over. They download one or two records off your project, the rest of it is gone.
Mm-hmm.
But when your record is dope from beginning to end, that's what matters. If The Chronic came out today, they're not going to buy two records over that. They're going to buy the whole thing because they're going to feel like they're missing something. Same thing with Life After Death or Illmatic or any one of those records. You got to make your whole joint crazy. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I did with this album. From beginning there, 19 joints, 100, an hour and a minute. And I'm really proud of it, you know?
We're proud of you too, Kid Capri. And you always have this platform whenever you need it in any way possible. We love you. You're the GOAT.
Love you too, man.
You know that, man. So we appreciate you.
Thanks, Kid Capri.
Thank you, man. Thank you for supporting me all the time, man. I really appreciate it.
Always.
I love you, man.
Always, man.
Always, my brother. Talk to you soon.
Sometimes Kid Capri and Flex get into it. I'm like, oh, I got to be in the middle of this bullshit again.
It's like fighting uncles.
It'd be Flex, man. It'd be Flex.
I know, I'm just saying, like, Flex, you stop it.
And listen, Flex, Flex loves it. I mean, listen, I've had it with Flex. Syph, you're the only one who hasn't had a beef with Flex. I've had my mom.
It wasn't on the air. I've had beef with him. He kicked me out of the pit bulls.
Hey Capri,
listen, go get that. Go stream it. Go watch it. Kid Capri, tell me one more time what the album is called.
It's The Love. The Love album. Kid Capri, The Love. Yes, sir.
Appreciate you, my brother. Be safe.
Love y'all, please.
There he is. The legendary Kid Capri.
I did a comedy show recently, and this guy comes up to me. He's like, yo, can I say something to you real quick? I'm like, yeah, of course. He's like, man, what you did for the culture, for the game, you put so much into it, man. It's amazing. And at that time, you know, the one of the most memorable moments in comedy is you and Bernie Mac on Def Comedy Jam.
Wait, what?
When Bernie Mac had that whole thing where he's like, I ain't scared of you motherfuckers, kick it. And you would throw on the beat. And I was like, oh, no, that wasn't me. That wasn't me. That was Kid Capri.
Kid Capri.
Kid Capri was on the Def Comedy Jam. And he's like, oh.
You were on Chappelle.
Oh, I thought
you were on Chappelle Show. On Chappelle Show.
I thought that was you with the Mac.
No, it's Chappelle Show.
Oh, was it you? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Kick it. No. I ain't scared of you motherfuckers. Kick it.
No, like, I talk, but I don't talk the way Kid Capri talk. I mean, that's different.
It wasn't me. Get out of my face, you fucking honky.
And remember this at all times. See if I can needle drop it on Spotify. Did I miss it?
All my employee is making Greg and I-C-E very M-A-D. They'll never ever think of jerking me.
You keep thinking it's coming up, but you forget he rhymes this the entire verse.
We're hard for my royalty. Put lead in your ass and drink a cup of tea. Peace the red alert and kick Capri. Ooh la la, ah wee. I say Muhammad Ali. You say glass, just clay.
Now he gets out of it.
Butter, you say parquet. It's alright if you wanna make a sway on my way uptown. Took the deuce to the trade. I originate.
If we ever seriously sat down, and I don't know that you'd be into this, but you know I would be.
Go on.
If we ever sat down
and do a whole series about Jay-Z.
If we ever sit down and do like a podcast or a whatever about the 50 greatest rap records ever recorded.
Why don't we do that?
We could. But here's the question I ask you right now, just to spark a little convo. Where is that DeWick? Because I think it's in the top 50 rap records of all time.
And it's just overall rap records.
It's just, these
not
are...
Party Rockers, not no, fucking...
No, no standard. It's just, you were going to play someone... You know what it would be, Saif? You want to teach someone about this thing we call hip-hop, okay? And if you are going to teach someone about this thing we call hip-hop, you say, here are the songs that you need to hear. 50 of them, the playlist for you.
Yeah, because, okay, yeah. So if you're going to start breaking it down, 50 greatest songs, and then you got to start breaking them down into like categories. In your mind, to explain it, you have to put DJ Premier in that category.
Of course you do.
You got to go Tribe. We got to go Biggie. We got to go Kendrick. We got to go Premier. So in the Premier catalog, what do you play? Because you only have 50 songs.
That's a great Dwick question. Which Premier songs make it into the top 50?
Dwick would have to be. Because with Dwick, you get to explain who Nice and Smooth is.
Yep, you get Guru. And you get Primo.
You get an underground, the underground, kind of like an underground group, big hit. Which means it had to be a hit because it was from an underground group.
Yep.
Which usually didn't make those quote-unquote hits. So Dwick is the one you explained from Gangsta.
Like, listen, it's not my favorite Gangsta record of all time.
No.
But it's, first of all, it's the number one Gangsta record you would ever play out. It's the number one Gangsta record makes you, I mean, it's just, yo, Greg Nice is
the number one Gangsta party record.
Number one Gangsta party record. Greg Nice, it's one of Greg Nice's best appearances on any record.
And the set off is crazy.
You mean, doom, doom, doom. I mean, it's the best.
But even with the Greg and Greg
it's and so like, from clear, everything, like, you get the full Premier scratches.
Yep.
It's
smooth B, smooth B, smooth.
Smooth.
My favorite is after the tour quits. I
come back with more. Yo, man. Hey, I have to go to the bathroom real quick. Billy June, didn't you want to plug something?
Wow, that's fucked up. That's really fucked up.
That is very funny. What's going on, Billy June? What'd you have to plug for the show for the Juan Eppers?
I was actually on a podcast about a month ago, and it released today.
Really?
And I talk. It says episode 174, Billy June of Juan Epi's life, and it was he's a comedian, and he's a hip hop nerd, and he's obsessed with Griselda and Conway. They've been on his podcast, and he loves Juan Epi, and he wanted to know about me and about the podcast. And
well, I
talked
feel
about
bad
you guys.
Now. Because now I have to sue him.
He wants you to be on it, actually.
No, I have to sue him because there's no way he should be allowed to say Billy June from Juan Epi's life. We didn't approve that, nor would we ever approve that. So well, for using my name in his marketing of his podcast, I now have to sue him because if he had me on or if he had Rosenberg on, that would be totally acceptable. But
I was recommended through Rosenberg's friend.
Oh, okay,
and he
okay.
wants you guys How's on that? The podcast.
Who is this guy?
It's called The Bucked Up Podcast with Sam Buck. He's a Massachusetts comedian and hip hop head. And it started out about like anxiety and therapy. So I was like, oh, this is perfect for them.
Perfect for them. Perfect for you.
It was the combination of two of the most awkward people.
He's awkward as well.
Together. Oh, I can. Do you want me to pull up a clip?
Absolutely. Please have it be of Griselda.
Of not me.
He had Griselda on his podcast.
He did.
Wow. How did he get them?
DMs and stuff.
He just DMs, huh? Okay. You don't have the clip of you ready to go?
This just happened.
Okay, I thought you told us before we started recording that you wanted to.
It was
something.
Coming out. It was coming out. I didn't expect you to ask for a clip of Conway.
No. I'm talking about a clip from you.
Yeah, I don't have a clip from me yet.
Is your episode out?
It just came out like an hour ago.
All right, we'll go to that. Go to it and play it.
What's happening?
Billy June was on a podcast.
Oh.
Sam Buck.
Your friend, Top Shelf Premium, connected me with him and recommended me.
Wow.
And he wants Sam you guys Buck. To be on it. He interviews Griselda and all these people. Rome Streets.
Oh, okay. I'm down. I mean,
Let's see.
I mean, it doesn't help get us on when you have Billy June as a guest. It doesn't.
I mean, Billy June first. He never even asked us to do it.
He just went straight to Billy June.
You gonna play it, Billy June?
Let's see if this works.
Do you know how to play podcasts?
He looks so confused.
Does the audio work?
Imagine being a rapper and you get in the car and you're the... All right.
Is that your twin?
Yeah, Billy June, why'd you turn it off? I want to hear what happened.
Okay.
We're trying to see what this is. Hold on. Can we make fun of this or not? I mean.
Yeah, you can, probably.
All right. Thank you. So let's get this going.
Greg, Anna.
Billy, June. All right, here we go.
Especially when you're not a confident driver. And like
I'm a confident driver.
I'm not. And I've gotten into accidents. I drove for Love and Hip Hop, and
you drove for Love and I would love imagine
I have
imagine
one good one
being
for you.
A rapper Ugh. And you get in the car and you're the all right.
I have one good one.
All right.
I was working the Love and Hip Hop Atlanta reunion, but they shot it in New York. And
can I turn this off? This is uncomfortable. For
No.
I did like three or four trips the whole day. And I was super nervous. And like,
what is that background, Billy June?
Back and forth from the airport.
It's
to
this
the hotel,
kid's studio.
And I didn't live in.
Oh, you went to his studio?
And
yeah, his friend's
where
studio.
Where was it?
Yeah, in the East Village.
The last people that got in my car, it was her name, Mama D.
Yeah,
she's little Scrappy's mom.
Okay,
it was Mama D, this woman who's like the fiance of Benzino. And then Benzino. And like, it was super tired. It was like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. I was on like hour 14 of working. It was like my third or fourth day working.
Sif, I wonder where this goes.
On this, for
You've
this company
heard this
in
story
general.
Before. I did on Sif's
like,
show.
Apologizing to me and da da da. And then like started like raining and thundering and like my GPS stopped working. And I said, like, do you guys mind if I put on music? I was like so nervous. Like, do you guys mind if I put on music to like, zone in? And he was like, yeah, I want to see what a white boy like you listens to. But like, I had a good pop, I had a very good hip-hop playlist, so he was pretty shocked. But then my GPS shit the bed, so he was like trying to help me, but like
Coi Leray's dad.
I did not know that until you just said that.
Oh,
that's
really
crazy.
Yeah, that's Coi Leray's dad.
And then fucking you know, like when you first get off a plane.
Okay.
And
all right, let's
you like
let's...
have your phone off. I guess like this.
I think it's fine.
He jumped out of my. He jumped out of my car while I was driving. That was the story.
So, Billy June, where can people find this entire interview? And how long did it go for?
A long time. And I talked about you guys a lot.
Oh, yeah. I want that.
I'll send it to you. He's a nice kid, though.
Yeah, he does.
Tell the people where to find it.
Yeah, it's a lot about therapy and, like, anxiety and stuff.
That's cool, man.
The Bucked Up podcast with Sam Buck. It's on YouTube and on streaming sites.
Bucked Up with Sam Buck.
Buck. Yes. Yeah. Your boy hooked me up with that. Nice guy.
Yeah. Mark's a great guy. And that guy seems like a good guy too. But this is unrelated, Saif, but I don't mean to trigger you, because sometimes I feel like I could trigger you.
Me?
But like, so Natalie posts on Twitter a video of Natalie. What do you say?
Your girlfriend, Natalie.
That's right.
Your lady.
My lady, my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. She posts this little clip on Twitter of her watching me earlier on Nick Cannon, okay?
Mm-hmm. Today?
Yeah.
Man, we've known each other for so long, from Hot 97 and ESPN. Yo, the one and only Mr. Peter Rosenberg.
Okay, look, tiny clip. I look, I look dressed up. Nice. She posts it and she says, "My love, Rosenberg Radio, kicking knowledge on Nick Cannon today. Check it out. Nothing but sweet support, right?" Mm-hmm. Ebro retweets this and adds a comment to the top. Mm. Was he crying up there at Miss Hatton?
What does that mean?
No one knows. Like,
were you crying?
No, why would I be crying?
Were you talking about anything upsetting?
No. It's
Did you cry earlier today on the morning show?
No. Hmm. And Ballard just sent it to me. He was like, "Why would he post this? I don't understand." I'm like, "I don't understand." Natalie doesn't understand.
Cryptic Ebro shit.
I think it's just a bad joke. Like, I just think it's like he's joking, but
was there an inside joke that you guys had earlier about you crying?
No, and like he just saw Natalie. He's only met Natalie a couple of times, but he saw her on this past Saturday. Wrestling was here, and I got tickets for Laura. Said she wanted to go, so I got Laura and Ricardo tickets.
Oh, I want to go.
And then Ebro's like, "Oh, I'll go." So I got Issa. Been his daughter's been interested a little bit, so he took her. So I got everyone tickets, whatever. So he saw Natalie Saturday, like maybe for the second or third time.
Crying?
No, why would I be crying?
At rest, I don't know. Maybe like there was something in wrestling where you had the belt and someone took it away from you again or something.
No, you're trying. I see what you're doing. You're trying to find a line of logic.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it just sounds, because what it sounds like is just like, and maybe he doesn't realize this about social media. I've gotten tight at him before and told him he leaves comments sometimes that does not realize that how dickish the inflection is, or he does and doesn't care.
Right.
He did one on your last video and the Juan Epper went at him.
Oh, I know.
That was pretty funny. That was pretty funny that the Juan Epper went at him.
The response. Go ahead. Go ahead, Billy June. Let's go ahead and make it awkward, Billy June. Turn this thing up a little bit. Go ahead.
The podcast. He put up a podcast video of someone who
did. I put up the podcast.
Yeah. And Ebro wrote, "So glad I invented y'all. Great work. Cypher sends Rosenberg with like three dots or four dots and some one effort."
Hold on. Slow down. You talk too fast, Billy June. First story. Okay. Cypher barely heard what you said. It was a promo for our podcast, and I said, basically, you know, I tooted our horn, the first ever hip hop podcast. You saw that,
yes, and I saw Ebro's response also.
"So glad I invented y'all" is what his response was. Great job. And then the response to that, Billy June, was what?
"Didn't you take Sife's job and get him fired?"
Who said that?
A Juan Epper.
And what did he say?
Oh, he didn't say anything.
You have, yo, send me that picture, yo. Screenshot that.
Yo,
did you take Sif's job and get him fired?
Oh, shit. But the reason I say that is like, but Sif, he he doesn't realize the does he not realize the tone of his initial comment is likely to get that because you're being right. dickish in your comment?
Right. What's the point of that?
And like, does he think that every person who loves Juan Epp doesn't know that? So like, did I have to give him credit right. in that post?
We say all the time. Now, first of all, yes, you 100% introduced us. That's factual. I know the moment I met Peter Rosenberg was because Ebro told me to come to Dennehy's Irish Pub.
There you go. Yep.
Down the block from Hot 97 where we first met. Did not create Juan Epp. Not at all.
He said the term was I invented y'all.
I invented Siphon Sounds of Rosenberg? Yes. I invented Juan Epp? No.
So
Juan Epp was invented by Peter Rosenberg.
Thank you.
No doubt in any which way about it.
Thank you very much. So
I didn't even know what a podcast was.
So the question is this. Like, do I have to give you credit in every time I talk about it? Or if I don't, you're just going to throw out an obnoxious, so glad I invented. Like, and so this is what brings me to what I'm saying is about, like, today's tweet. He doesn't think about, like, you're tweeting that at Natalie. How is she supposed to respond? How's my girlfriend who's not a radio host or...
Right.
How is she supposed to respond publicly?
Not an entertainer, yeah.
Yeah, like, she's a photographer. Like, why is she... What is she... And also, I don't get what you're saying. So how's she going
to
get it?
That's why I'm trying to determine. Maybe they talked on Saturday and she said, oh, he cried.
No, there's no, no.
You know what I mean? But I'm just saying, like, there's an inside joke they might have had when you were broadcasting. And he and her might have had a little exchange where it's like, oh, no, he cried something, something. And then as an inside joke back to her on Twitter, he's like, was he crying up there, you know?
Right.
It's weird.
Okay, I'm asking.
Look, man, I hung out with Amber Rose. It's a great time. I didn't even get to the good shit.
You keep going. We didn't get to the good shit.
I gotta go.
Well, you gotta get to the good shit first.
Nori says Hov's coming tomorrow.
You're talking about Jay-Z.
Jay-Z.
Yeah, I know. I'm familiar.
I said, Nori, I gotta be there. I haven't seen Hov in a long time. He's like, of course. It's why I'm telling you. Hov shows up. I mean, he couldn't be more alone.
Oh, Dolo.
In the most cash. New Hov. This Hov is.
You never seen this Hov before.
This Hov is a delightful person. A delightful human being. Not that he ever wasn't. But I've always known rap Hov. And then gotta kill this corporate world Hov. This was like laid back. I made it. Money just makes itself Hov.
That's a different kind of thing.
Hov and Nori talking about Japanese whiskey for 30 minutes. Then talking about how Ace of Spades is made. How he found this vineyard or whatever in Champagne, France, and they created Ace of Spades. It was, bro.
Now, hold on. I got to ask you something right here. Nori implied on social media that he was working on getting Hov for Drink Champs. Okay. All I'm saying is.
I never heard the ask.
Did you hear it come up?
The times I was sitting there, no.
Because I was going to say, it would seem interesting if it came up in front of you to not mention, hey, you remember when you did Juan Epp?
No. I, there was a couple things I had in my mind that I thought was I was going to bring up, that being one of them. The greatest interview you've ever had has been Juan Epp. Don't ever even try to deny that. It didn't come up when I saw it, but Nori's finesse game is excellente,
really.
I see how we're not winning. I see how we're not. It is an amazing.
I wish you could give us more more understanding.
I'm not even. It's not even nothing secret. Nori just is like such a great. He's just so open and positive and has such a great demeanor. and shows love and explains how Drink Champs is one of the only places where old school rappers come and get appreciated. You know what I mean? And then very interested in like this talk of Japanese whiskey and these bottles that they've bought. And Hov is talking about he bought a bottle on auction that was however many thousands of dollars. And Nori had a $400 shot of some Japanese whiskey the night before. Mind you, hanging out with Amber Rose at this rooftop for 8 hours. Then we go get dinner where it's just more drinking, but with food. And he got this $400 glass of whatever the Japanese whiskey is. And
yo, rich people, literally all they do is the same things 12-year-olds do. They just replace baseball cards with watches and champagne.
Oh, watch game is heavy.
Oh my
God. That gumbo guy, the gumbo weed guy, his watch game was ridiculous. And the thing about Nori, this is what I fucking love, Nori, man. Everyone that works at Drink Champs is just Nori's friend.
Yeah.
And it started off where they had this whole film crew that was from Revolt or whatever it was. And Nori just taught all his guys and made his guys learn to work the audio, work the video, work the whatever. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So now Drink Champs is just Nori's boy. So there was like, two of the guys who do Smoke Champs. One of them's Nori's, I think he's Nori's nephew. His name is Really. This other guy, Mike Booth. Sonny, this guy Sonny that works with Nori. I Ross is the guy, the camera guy. All of them Rolexed out. All of them.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not that Nori buys them Rolexes. Nori has given them careers in order for them to afford Rolexes.
Yep.
It's amazing, bro. I would be the same way. I just need the fucking initial $12 million, and then I'm giving it away. I'm giving it away.
If you could get above 12, just a quick 12.
Whatever the number is, bro. I give it away now. So $1 million, $2 million, whatever. I'm never going alone. You flying with me. Let's go. You know what I mean? But, bro, the conversation with Hov was like the most, it was enlightening, but in like a relax. First of all, he went at me right away. Like, that hasn't stopped. Him and Nori are sitting in the restaurant. I walk in, Jamal and the Smoke Champ guys. I go say what's up to him. He shows love right away. I'm standing by the chair. He goes, why you look so uncomfortable? Have a seat. And I go, why do you have to start with me right away? I'm not uncomfortable. He goes, I don't know. You look uncomfortable. You look uncomfortable. Then I'm telling a story. And the story is, I'm a little passionate about the story. And my hand was moving towards him a little bit. Yeah, you know, a little gesture. Mm-hmm. He goes, yo, why? Don't point at me.
What's wrong with him, bro?
I go, yo, what? Why are you always fucking with me, man? Why are you always fucking with me since day one, since 97? And he goes, it's fun.
I wonder why that is, though, because he does always like to fuck with you.
Bro, always fucks with me.
And it's not, and it's specific. It's not generic. Like, I've had... nowhere near you, but I've had my share of conversations and run-ins with him. He doesn't fuck with me. He's friendly and he talks and he knows what kind of things to talk about with me. He knows what I'm in. Right. He knows people, but he doesn't fuck with me. With you, he knows to goof on you. Like it's very endearing.
Bro, He goes, there's like a table, there's a little thing on the table. It's like a little dish of olives, a little dish of mixed nuts, and a little dish of something else, whatever it was. And he's eating the mixed nuts, and then he goes to the waitress, hey, do you have just almonds? Can I have just some almonds? And she's like, yeah, of course. And she goes, she brings back the biggest, fullest plate of almonds. And I say to him, I say, Hov, let me ask you a question. Because you're aware of what's going on. You're not one of these aloof rich guys. You're aware. It's weird that she brought you so much almonds, right? And he goes, yeah, it's weird. It's weird. Because, like, just bring the same cup that the mixed almonds are in. I mean, the mixed nuts are in, but just of almonds.
If you have that, right.
She brought him the Costco plate of almonds. Like, And I was like, nobody wants that many almonds. He goes, I'm not going to eat all these almonds.
But she had to because it's Hove.
Because it's Hove. And, like, the people walking by. We were, like, kind of, like, in the cut. But it was still a place where some people had to walk by. And when they see him, the fucking faces, like, light up. It's interesting, man.
Well,
it's interesting.
He's a different level.
Different level.
I got to tell man, this trip sounds like a lot of fun, man.
This trip, I mean.
Really sounds like a good time.
Bro, and then I had to leave the whole time. Let me ask you this. I got to go, but let me ask you this.
Yeah, I would have loved to have come. Is that
when I first saw him? Shut up.
That's
when
not
I first
what, okay.
saw him.
Here's your...
I go, what's up, Ho? We're talking, da da da. And he goes, what's up? I go, nah, you know, I'm talking about comedy. Yo, he said the nicest thing. He goes, bro, you're a Renaissance man. You're a Renaissance man. He goes, the different shit you do and how you approach it is fucking amazing. That shit warmed my heart. Then he goes, when
because I describe
comedy,
you as just a psychopath, and he finds it. He finds it much.
No,
better.
You call me a what's the radio personality?
Disgrace?
Disgrace.
Yeah.
So he goes, when's the next time you're doing a show? I go, oh, I actually have shows tonight in L.A.
Okay.
Mind you, Rosenberg. I used to go to L.A. all the time for different reasons, TV shows or whatever, whatever. Never did any comedy out there. I didn't know who the people were.
Right.
I put up an Instagram that I was in L.A., not asking for shows, and the DMs started coming in, bro.
Wow.
Everybody asking me to do shows.
Oh, this is why you're going to move to L.A. Keep going.
Bro, the tides have turned. Cypher Sounds a Comedian is out here.
You're feeling a tide turning.
The tide is turning.
You're feeling a tide turning.
People begging, not begging, but asking me to do their shows.
Okay.
There.
This is exciting.
The tide is turning.
The tide is turning. Okay.
So Hove goes, when's your next show? I go, oh, I'm actually doing a show tonight, 8:00. And this is like where this is like 5:30 when he asked me that. And throughout the conversation, he keeps kind of poking at me with comedy. How does this work? Or when do you do this? We talked about T.I. doing comedy, right? Blah, blah, blah. What's your first joke you're going to do tonight? I'm like, oh, I'm in L.A. I'll probably start with my Puerto Rican shit so I can, like, fuck with the Mexicans, blah, blah, blah. Now it's 8 o'clock. My show, the show starts at 8. I'm not on at 8, but the show starts at 8. It's a half an hour away. I felt like not leaving.
Of course you didn't. But you had to because he told him you had a
show. Did I have to leave?
Yes, because, well, you told him you had a show. So now if you just stay to hang out, you're
straight groupie.
That's what you would have been.
Straight groupie, right? If I would have canceled a show.
To hang out? You think Hove would cancel a show to hang out with you?
No.
So you made the right decision. I assume you left.
I left.
Damn right you did.
I went and did three shows.
I got a text at 2:30 in the morning saying, Cypher Sounds just fucking crushed.
Who, your guy Sam?
Yeah.
Bro, I went and did this show. This is the third show of the night. A weird, weird show in a fucking, wherever the fuck it was. And then T.I.'s like, where you at? Where you at? Because I was supposed to do this other show where T.I. was going to be, but I was on the early show. He was on the late one.
Wait, T.I.'s doing comedy?
You haven't seen this?
No.
It's all over the internet, bro.
What internet? Not me.
The internet. Black Twitter. So
T.I. doing comedies on Black Twitter?
T.I. does stand up.
Since when?
6 weeks.
He's going for it.
He's in it. I've been talking to him. I've talked to T.I. the most in the last couple of weeks than I've ever had in my life. And me and T.I. are very cool. But I've been calling him every other day. Well, how was the set last night? What'd you do? What's good? How was this? So he's like, yo, I'm coming to see you. But we were on different shows, but the same club. I missed him. So he's like, where you at? I'm like, I'm off to this other spot. He's like, I'm coming. Pulled up. Goons, everything. I say, yo, you want to get
on? Hold on, hold on, hold on. Stay right there.
Not talking to you. But if you got sagging titties, you don't need to go and get no operation. You don't need to get no surgery. You just need to get a nigga with long arms so he can hit that motherfucker before he got there and hit the ground. You know what I'm saying? Check out to make better decisions.
I don't understand what he's saying exactly there, but his inflection sounds like someone who's doing comedy.
I mean, that guy has the gift of gab, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I was telling him. Like, you're lucky you're not scared of the stage and you know how to talk. Now you just got to put the funny in it, you know?
Let's hear how this sounds. Hold on.
Performing your favorite song, they automatically just cut the song off in the middle of it.
What the fuck is he gonna do now? Holy looking like you waiting on me to throw out a big word, arbitrary. Hey, listen, right? As the ambassador of big words, which is what you've obviously nominated me to be, and I accept, throughout the set, if you hear a word that you don't know the definition to, raise your hand, and I'll give you the definition expeditiously, okay? I know y'all...
He's really doing stand-up. Okay, so T.I. pulls up.
Comes through. They say, hey, can you bring him up? I said, yeah, of course. I mean, I've already went on. I already did my thing. Two comics have gone on after me. Can you bring him up? Yeah. So I go back on stage. I bring him up. He does his thing. Afterwards, we're talking about the set. It was fucking fun as hell. It was a fun weekend, bro. Fun fucking weekend.
I'm very happy for you.
I'm glad you told me I should have left.
You did. I would have struggled with the same thing, because like particularly Hove, more than anyone, even though you've known him for a long time since years ago, all of that, it still was the right thing to do.
He would have known.
Of all people, he would have called you out and been like, "I thought
because
you had a show."
We talked about it so much throughout the night, he would have been like, "This nigga's a groupie, yo."
I have to admit, I'm jealous. I would like to have a run-in with Hove. I haven't had a run-in with Hove in a very long time.
Bro, I haven't had one like that ever. That was... No, I can't say ever.
I've certainly never had that.
When I used to work at 4040, we've had conversations like that, but this was a... But he was always on the move, you know what I mean? The relax with the whiskey, it was a night. It was a night, bro. It was a night. Then, how about this? The way he's sitting in the booth, I'm like, damn, I want to get a picture with Hov. I haven't had a picture with Hov with hair ever. You know what I mean? All my pictures with Hov are old because he got the bald head. You know what I mean? And I gotta leave, and everybody's still in full conversation. I'm just the one leaving, and I didn't want to be like, yo, can I get a picture?
You can't.
And then, like, go behind them in the booth.
You can't.
And, like, bend over.
No, please say you didn't do that.
I didn't. And then Nori got all the pictures and shit.
See, that's interesting, because I would not have asked for a picture no matter what.
No, at the end when you're leaving,
I wouldn't. Nori's like an artist also, so it's like more acceptable. Yeah. And also Nori doesn't feel awkward about anything. It would make me feel like he's going to think this is lame. I don't want to be lame.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't ask for, I notoriously don't ask, unless you are like, I'll ask, like, for example, there were these two Olympians at WWE who showed up to a thing to do something, and they just won gold medals. They're taking pictures with everyone on earth, and
they're on their picture run.
Exactly, and I don't really care who they are. I just think it'll be cool they just both won the gold medal. It's a neat little thing. I don't care.
Yeah.
But like, when I'm having a great conversation with someone really cool and the proof of it would make, I'd get so many fucking likes. I just don't think it's worth it.
I know, but people like Nori and then people like Will Silvins, who made me take that picture with Kanye, which I'm now happy I have, but I was like, no, I don't want to bother him. And Will was like, no, take the picture. Like, they don't have that thing.
I know. I've accepted that I have it, and I passed up on a lot of good pictures.
I have it.
It's just, it's odd. All right, so long. I hope I have the best trip ever to LA, and I'm not going to fucking tell you anything.
Oh, tell me, come on.
It's not going to be that good.
You're going to hang out with Amber Rose.
I'm not even going to hang out with Amber Rose. She's out of town.
I know where she is.
Exactly, so I can't even.
I know exactly where she's going to be.
I'm not going to be able to even have that. I got nothing to beat you with.
Nah, well, I'll hook you up, man. What about Billy? What about your friend Sam?
No, I don't need to.
Billy.
Go. No.
Billy, hook up Rosenberg with your friend Sam. Yo, Sam goes to me. Or somebody goes, no, ask him. Just ask. Somebody else asked me. Hey, do you know Dan Robinson?
Who?
Oh, I didn't know. I thought you meant the other Sam, the podcast guy.
No, Sam from LA.
That guy, Sam, he was like my little, I was his mentor at work.
Oh, wow. That's special.
That note.
on that note, one episode officially over. Like, we're never doing another episode.
And by the way, to the 40 people who quit Patreon, I just want to say, go fuck yourself. You have to make play this game with us every single month. Like, by the way, I just want to be clear. It's incredibly generous that anyone pays for Patreon. It's so fucking generous. Like, I truly is. And at the same time, if you do it and then quit, I think you're a cheap piece of shit.
Since the Mona video, you've been tracking me down, trying to figure out how I look in person now. Baby, forget looks. Tell me, can you roll with crooks? Or three hot niggas rising in the...
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with Host Red sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book Host Red sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.